This is part two of our two-part series on starseeds and Atlantis and the dark story behind these practices. We finish up in this episode talking about the ties to white supremacy, the history of how the concepts went from Greek mythology to modern-day problematic practice.
Let's talk about what intuition really is.
Let's look at all the places intuition and ego show up in your life.
Let's share honestly.
Let's do the research.
I'm Jamie Hayhurst.
I'm Heather Wood.
This is the Intuitive Girls Guide.
Hey, Jay.
We're back.
We're back with part two. So many things to talk about here.
Yeah.
All right.
So hopefully you digested from last week. Mm-hmm. What we talked about.
If you haven't listened to part one of this, Starseeds in Atlantis, please go back and do that. You need the setup to understand.
We're jumping right in.
Why this is important.
Right.
Yes, we are jumping right in because we still have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We can't have a part three. I don't have enough voice capacity to keep going.
No.
All right. So I'm going to take you through sort of like the history, like the cycle I was finding when I research this. Mm-hmm. I want to shout out because I said a lot in the last episode about how there's like no research about this. Mm-hmm. One of the sources I found, what I'm going to tell you is like a mix of a bunch of them. And then I like further researched each thing. But one of them was from the BBC podcast, You're Dead to Me.
Okay.
About Atlantis. So
okay.
I got a lot of stuff from there.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that I shout them out and credit them. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend you listen to that episode.
Okay.
So Atlantis, the idea of Atlantis, mm-hmm. was part of mythology.
Right.
And it was a story written by Plato.
Yeah.
Okay. Plato was a real interesting character. Mm-hmm. Philosopher, doctor, mathematician. There's so many things listed. I can say is that like, I think if we try to like pull ourselves out of like trying to define him in modern society.
Right.
And just think of him as like a leader of like how we should be thinking and like learning about the world. And like, I think that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
I think of him mostly as like a philosopher. Mm-hmm. So anything that I'm taking in that's coming from Plato, I'm looking at it through that lens.
Yeah.
Right. Of like, what is he trying to teach us about like life and being human and all of that. Mm-hmm. So he writes about Atlantis here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Atlantis is connected to gods, like all this stuff. I'm not going to get into that on here.
Right.
We can if you guys want an episode on the original story. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of them and it's...
Yeah.
I don't think it's as important because I don't see anyone in our industry actually talking about those stories when they're talking about
Atlantis. The original, right.
Yes. Okay. So people have taken this concept from Plato and like used it in so many different ways.
Yep.
So I found claims that Atlantis is located underwater in Sweden, the Arctic, Germany, Italy, America, very many.
Right.
I could keep going, but like
I've heard that
throughout history. It's not just like in the last 5 years, it's like everyone claiming this.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to jump from Plato to 1530. The year 1530.
Okay.
Was there Atlantis stuff happening in between that time? Of course.
Yeah, the stories were being told.
But when I tell you this story, I think you're going to sort of have a light bulb moment of like what might be going on now as it relates to like COVID and stuff.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to try to say his name and I'm going to try to pronounce the stuff and I'm going to butcher it and I apologize up front. I'm so sorry.
In advance.
So, Girolamo Fracastaro.
Okay.
Also listed with two other names being the same person.
Okay.
And I could not figure out exactly why, other than like, I don't know if it's, you know how like Cristoforo Colombo and we call him Christopher Columbus?
Yes,
like, I don't know.
Right.
That's my guess.
Okay.
He does talk about Cristoforo Columbus. That's why it's front of mind. But,
okay.
He is a writer.
Okay.
He's a philosopher. He's in the 1530s is doing all the things very similar to Plato. Like he's clearly someone who's influenced by Plato. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he, for the most part of what I could find, was regarded as like still well. Like people thought nice things of him. Mm-hmm. Okay. But in 1530, he wrote a poem. I think it's more of like a long story, but that's listed as a poem.
Okay.
Okay. You can read it if you want. It doesn't translate very well.
Okay.
But it's Greek mythology mixed with the highly contagious disease at the time known as French disease. Mm-hmm. So French disease is like, it's not categorized as a plague. I'll tell you what it is in a minute.
Okay.
But it was front of mind for everyone. It was highly contagious. People didn't know how it was passing. It was spreading everywhere. Mm-hmm. So in this time period, this disease is killing people and hurting people. And everyone's thinking about it. Sound kind of familiar?
Familiar, yes.
Yeah, okay. So this guy writes something, I'm going to try to say it, mm-hmm. named Syphilis Sive Morbo Gallico.
Okay.
There's a hint in there about what the disease
sure
is.
Sure, you picked up.
Okay. And in this, he writes just like, again, a poem. It's not like this is fact.
He's not like writing like a journal, like a medical journal.
No.
Right.
He says, here are two legends of how this disease is spread and how it came to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't know how at the time. Yep. We learned later, spoiler alert, this is syphilis. It gets renamed after this guy's poem. It was called French disease,
right?
Which is also racist because although we blame cultures all the time for illness.
Oh, like the China flu?
Yes. Yeah, thank
exactly.
you. Okay. So.
Right.
Okay. So what we know now is syphilis, which is a sexually transmitted disease, is...
We're not blaming the French.
No.
Right.
But this is became renamed after his poem. That's how influential it was.
Right.
But he was writing like, here are two... I'm going to lean on Greek mythology to help us understand where this comes from. He wasn't saying this is a fact, from what I can gather. Mm-hmm. Okay. There are people who disagree with me. They're mm-hmm. saying he was trying to trick us or something. I didn't get that vibe, to be honest.
Okay.
But you can decide for yourself if you mm-hmm. want to look into it more. Okay, so he wrote two legends mm-hmm. about the origin of this disease,
mm-hmm.
French disease.
Syphilis,
not called that yet, but
right.
this disease that they didn't realize how it was spreading and all that. Okay, so the first legend is of Christopher Colombo, which is Christopher Columbus, because for some reason we can't just pronounce his name the way it was really originally mm-hmm. pronounced.
Right.
I'll never understand that. Right. Okay. So this first legend, basically, I'm boiling it way down, but it's that Christopher Columbus, his voyage, he gets to the natives of America and they were all suffering from a disease that was a curse from the gods of the lost city of Atlantis. So Christopher Columbus found a cure. He sails around, finds a cure in the holy guacium tree. It's G-U-A-I-A-C-U-M.
Okay.
And he brings that cure back and they all take it and they're cured from this guacium tree. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but that, okay.
It's a wild
first
fantasy.
Legend. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. It sort of reads in the weirdly translated way as a like choose your own adventure style, the way it's written. Mm-hmm. It's very strange. I'm sure it's just not translated right, but like,
right.
You're not reading it like that's what really happened, man.
Right.
But like,
right.
That's the story.
Gotcha.
Okay. Again, this guy is inspired by Plato. He's trying to write like a Greek mythology of why this happened.
Yeah.
Okay. It's falling a bit tone deaf on the fact that we're now blaming, it's like the Native Americans are cursed by the gods of Atlantis.
When we actually brought the disease to them.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right.
Many diseases to them.
Right.
Right. So you start to see this pattern that you'll continue to see of white people blaming non-white people
right.
for things that they don't deserve the blame for.
Right.
Okay. The second legend in this is that the disease was given to Syphilo by Apollo. So Apollo is the Greek sun god, okay? Because he was unfaithful to him. And so Juno, who is, I believe, Apollo's wife, does that sound right? Found the guacium,
mm-hmm.
the same tree herb,
okay?
And gave it to Syphilo. Syphilis, this is
right.
where the name comes from, and cured him.
Right.
Okay. After this comes out,
yeah.
people start using this guacium
yeah.
to treat syphilis.
Oy.
I tried so hard to figure out if it was effective. Like, And I wasn't because I thought like he made it up and then it worked. Like, but I was like, was this actually working and he was writing about this? Right. Or was it just that like he wrote about it and then people were influenced to try it?
Right.
My best educated guess on that is that because he wrote about it, people tried it.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you if it was effective or not. My best guess is no. So the way that syphilis works, because you guys all expected a syphilis lesson here in this episode. Mm-hmm. The way it works is that the symptoms come and then they go and then they come, like they flare and then they go away.
Right.
So in most of the stuff that was like very medical that I was reading, because again, there's not a lot of articles about, was this right? Right. Does this work? You know?
Right.
It seemed like it probably was not doing anything.
Right.
Okay. But also I'm trying to make sure I use my brain of like, doctors are always very skeptical about like herbology or anything natural working to help.
Right.
Right. So I don't know, but I can't say like, oh, it definitely helped.
No.
And I can't say it definitely hurt because there wasn't anything to treat it at the time. So.
Right. Right.
But it was so influential that people believed it.
Gotcha.
And it's important to talk about this because we're repeating it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go into more. But like, we're repeating it now. So when you're like, why are you guys spending two episodes about this?
Right.
And you're like, you know, people are just putting stories out there and, you know, no one's believing them. Mm-hmm. Well, they have been since 1530.
Right.
So when we're mad that starseed in Atlantis is being promoted and people don't know the real origin and facts aren't getting presented... It's like, well, this has been happening since then. Of course we need to, like so much so that people were taking this as a...
As truth.
Yeah. And, but they were like, oh, I'm going to take this herb and, oh, I think it's helping. So it must have been the Native Americans.
Right.
That were cursed by the gods of Atlantis. And it's their fault we have this disease. Like you can't, you take one little piece of truth and then you mix it with a bunch of things that aren't true. People believe all of it.
Exactly.
So it's, this is...
The problem.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's a pattern that you're presenting.
Yeah. And so think about that. You're claiming you're from Atlantis where these gods are cursing non-white cultures.
Disease upon them.
Yeah. And listen, the stories are, and we'll get to this too, that the reason for the curses, because this isn't the only one. Mm-hmm. There's 1530 on, this narrative keeps getting repeated and it's different people getting blamed.
Yep.
Okay. So this idea that like, okay, what's really happening is that white people should feel bad and take accountability for the fact that they went in their, I'm going to conquer this land, right? And I'm going to take it from these natives. Mm-hmm. And then you find out like, oh, look at all these amazing things that they contributed, right? And you're like, well, I can't give them credit for that because that makes me wrong.
It makes me the bad guy.
But if I say originally,
it
was full of Greek gods.
Right.
And then the Native Americans took it from them. So it's actually their fault. And actually all these accomplishments that should be credited to non-white people, the white people are going to take it because look, we were there first.
Right.
It's bullshit.
Yeah. It's just this like strange societal rationalization that happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to now tell you about an American political person.
Okay.
From the late 1800s.
Okay.
And his name was Ignatius Donnelly.
Okay.
Can you just immediately tell us the problematic white man by me just saying his name to you?
Yeah. Ignatius, probably.
Is that how you think it is? Ignatius?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pronounce it wrong to piss him off. Piss off his ghost. Okay. So this man, white man, has a string of failures. This is how the story starts.
All these stories start.
The biggest one is that he created his own town.
Right.
And then everyone left and he was literally the last person there. Like nobody wanted to be in this town.
Womp womp.
The story of this, please go look it up. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really the definition of like the audacity of a mediocre white man.
Exactly. He'll colonize a town. Start a town.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. So this is like the last failure in a string of like very business type failures. Mm-hmm. And so what he decides to do to like reinvent himself or like the next step is to join the Republican Party.
Cool. It literally sounds like Donald Trump.
I know.
It's literally like Jesus reincarnated.
Huh? Okay. So he ends up leaving the Republican Party, but joins like smaller ones that are like sects of the Republican Party, from what I can tell. Again, this is the late 1800s, so it's always confusing as like the parties were a little bit different than they are now.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So the parties, multiple, because he keeps switching. Mm-hmm. He joins all... Their taglines are that they represent the workmen and the small farmers.
Okay.
Also familiar.
Yes.
This is why I get pissed.
Right.
Because it's happening again right in front of our face, and it already happened.
Right.
And because we're not talking about it,
right,
we're promoting it again.
Yep.
Okay. I'll calm down. Maybe. Okay. They claimed that the public enemies were bankers and financiers. Mm-hmm. So it kind of reminded me when I was like reading this stuff of like Bill Gates created diseases through vaccine or whatever they say. He's putting microchips in you.
Oh yeah. And with the vaccine.
Yeah.
Yes.
It the way they're blaming bankers and like,
I mean, I have a problem with bankers.
Absolutely.
And the rich in general, but like
100%.
I get where you're going.
You know where I'm like, it's like, we're talking about the working man.
Right.
And these big bad guys are trying to hurt the working man.
Right.
But it's coming from a place of, I'm just trying to manipulate the working man.
Exactly.
I'm not actually trying to get
them
anything.
Fired up. Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So he, how do you say his name?
Ignatius.
Ignatius, our boy, also decides that he should probably write a book.
Oh, cool.
So guess what he decided to write about?
The Art of the Deal.
Atlantis. The Art of the Deal.
Isn't that Trump's book?
Yes. Okay. He claims in the book that Atlantis was a real place.
Okay.
And he uses it to claim the cultural achievements of non-white societies. Again.
What?
Again. Now, am I saying that our boy, whose name I also can't pronounce from before, Girolamo Frascataro, who named syphilis, I think by accident, mm-hmm, that he was like really trying to promote it to do that? I don't know, but he did.
Right. Exactly.
Did Donnelly here, Ignatius Donnelly, mm-hmm, whatever his name is, mm-hmm, did he set out to do it for that reason? 100%. And it's because the ground was already laid.
Well, it's because he was already a failure.
Yeah.
So he took the opportunity to prop himself up.
When I tell you, I found so many examples of the, I'm going to use the story of Atlantis to claim like achievements of non-white societies.
Right.
Or to say white people were actually there first. It was so many. It was alarming. And I don't care. You can say, well, Heather, if you listed all the people who wrote them, they weren't anyone influential. That there still shouldn't be that many. There should be any, but like, it's everywhere and it's throughout history. It keeps going. It's still going on.
Well, it's like the acknowledgement of the pattern that like this keeps happening. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this is almost like the sort of theoretical colonization, or like the, it's like the colonization through theory and through story.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like we literally, white people have literally colonized the globe.
Right.
Physically.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like through this storytelling,
mm-hmm,
that you're also colonizing. You're also taking things and making them your own.
Yes.
And then people are reading that.
Yeah.
And buying into that.
Yeah. It's not far off from how people are like, let's not teach real history. Like, let's wipe out all these books and say you can't talk.
We don't want white kids to feel bad about slavery. Right.
Yeah. Or like, oh, you've never heard of these five very influential black men who invented these amazing things, or the very first woman business owner was a black woman.
Right.
You know, she was a hairdresser. Right. Like, we don't know any of that. We're not taught it. It's because they don't want you to know that. I know I'm sounding like a conspiracy theorist at the moment, but this is really what happens. And it happens subtly, and it happens in your face. It's not just Florida. It's everywhere.
No, right. Exactly.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, no, Florida is just, they're saying the quiet part out loud.
Right.
And they think that we're all going to eventually buy into it.
Right.
And they're right. Probably a lot of people are going to buy into it.
Sadly. But that's why we need to keep talking about this mm-hmm. stuff. So I realize it's not the same thing, but it has the same vibe yeah. of like taking your mind and making you think different things than what right. really happened.
Right. And this is a part of, if you're listening to this and you're saying like this, you know, this is flimsy.
Yeah.
You know, these are just random people doing this.
Right.
Well, that's how they get you. That's how this system.
Yeah.
gets you to buy into it.
And
it's that subtle.
I should say that our boy, Ignatius Donnelly, was a congressman. He became a congressman.
See?
So you can't just say it's
some random farmer
political guy. No.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if you're just saying like, oh, it's these, you know, people who aren't important, mm-hmm. but it matters the sphere of influence that they have.
Correct.
Okay. So I don't think this is new information for people, but apparently it is because it's very not Googleable.
What?
That the Nazis use Atlantis.
Oh, yeah.
Like they claimed it was an Aryan civilization and yes. they used the same exact thing of the Atlanteans. Mm-hmm. They didn't use the term starseed in anything that I could find, but no. the same idea mm-hmm. that they were, if you were a Nazi, mm-hmm. okay, so... We'll just fill in starseed.
The supreme, right.
That you were a higher being than everybody from somewhere else, from Atlantis, who is from the superior race, who, like, it's the same thing. You're just changing out the word.
Well, and Nazism is just, like, a far more, unfortunately, successful,
right.
but also radicalized
yeah.
version of this story.
Yes, that's an excellent way to put it, an excellent point, because you might be like, well, you know, in that last episode when you were mad at Rebecca Campbell, but like she's not using it in a bad way, but it's like, okay, but like the Nazis were.
Right.
And it's still a recycled thing, and like that shit works. Like it's still a problem.
And do you want to be talking about anything that's tied to the Nazis?
Right.
Like can you yeah, but the Nazis? Because if you can, we've got a problem.
And why are people going like, oh, well, Hitler? And Hitler wasn't the only Nazi promoting this idea,
no.
by the way. There's lots of other Nazis that people don't know their name, that like you don't even know like some of the psychology that you're subscribing to and using is
right.
coming from very influential Nazis.
Right.
Like people, this is a whole other problem
right.
for maybe another episode.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like
yeah.
there, it isn't just one guy.
No,
is
right,
my
exactly.
point. Like sometimes we think of it that way.
Yeah.
But if you ask yourself this way of thinking of mm-hmm. like, some of us are higher beings and better mm-hmm. than everybody else, and this is why things are hard, and let's blame some non-white people for everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you're promoting that same thing, like what are you doing? Because we know what the Nazis were doing.
Right.
So what are you
right.
trying to do?
Right.
Because you're not helping anybody.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's like a superiority to it.
Yeah. So you got to ask yourself some questions. Like if you're really connected to the starseed idea and you won't let it go,
right.
maybe you believe you are an alien. I don't really care if you do. Like, that's fine with me. I'm not
right.
mad at that. But if you're using the starseed thing and then you're saying, oh, I'm a higher being than everybody else here.
Right.
Because you guys, you're just from Earth.
Right.
You always incarnate here, but I incarnate from somewhere. And you think that makes you better than people.
Right.
You're setting yourself up for something dangerous.
Yep.
And then if you're promoting that idea, my question is, what are your intentions then?
Yeah. Or even if your intentions are good, like, how do you know how that information is going to travel?
Yeah.
Like if you're spreading it and you spread it to the wrong person who's very susceptible, who's very isolated,
mm-hmm.
they get that information from you, and then who knows where they run with it.
Exactly.
And who takes advantage of them down the line.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So I'm in the thick of this
mm-hmm.
research, and I have to stop like finding all the millions of examples of people using it badly because I need to move us forward.
Right.
But I have this question nagging at me of like, how did this idea become so prevalent in like this world, in like the spiritual woo-hoo
right.
world? Like, because I can hear where it is in white supremacy very easily,
right.
but I can't connect the dot
right
historically in what I'm reading to how it's in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer bummed me out.
What?
So take it with a grain of salt, because I don't I can't tell you the intention of this person. And this is a person who was very influential in the sphere, also controversial, but like I was surprised. Yeah. And it's Edgar Cayce.
Oh, right. You said that.
So he's dead now, yeah. But he was a very yeah. famous, he identified himself as a psychic, you yeah. know, he used that term. Mm-hmm. And he made lots of predictions. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of quotes that are still shared and like a lot of contributions to this industry that are really good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Was he a wacko? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like, were there some good stuff in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
I will tell you right now that I did not find any ties to white supremacy mm-hmm. for him.
Okay.
But I do think he's the button on the connection between this industry and this stuff.
Okay. Okay. It's the bridge.
Yes. So he wrote a book about Atlantis because he did a lot of past life work.
Okay.
So a lot of his psychic readings were, let me tell you about your past life. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about people's past lives in Atlantis.
Okay.
So it's a whole book. Right. About him picking up that people were coming, from, like ascending from Atlantis, as if it was a different planet, not like a sunken place in
right. on the earth.
On the earth.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So he said it was a city that ran on crystals.
Yes, I've heard that.
Okay. That's where that comes from.
Yep.
So now this is where that concept gets grabbed and brought in.
What year is this?
This is in like the early 1900s.
Okay.
Okay. So
that's what I was picturing.
Not like post war and everything, but like where, right. you know,
yeah.
I can find an exact date of when the book came out, well, but it's hard to see when the influence really started because it seems like this kind of like snowball slowly rolling down a hill effect of right. like it starts to spread. But Edgar Cayce is super influential in this world. And like very. Some people don't even know his name, but they're practicing things are his teachings.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Really, if you're into past life stuff, he's a big influencer here.
Yep.
We have episodes on that too.
Yep.
Okay. So the thing that's so crazy is that in his book, he said there were two phases / two legends to the destruction of Atlantis. Again, with the two... Do you see?
Yeah, the pattern. Yep.
Is that an accident? Because I
don't know.
Did he know that there was the syphilis story? Like,
or is he just picking up on it intuitively?
I don't know. I don't know, but this is what he said. He said, people fled Atlantis to many different countries. That was the first one, the first legend. Okay, so Atlantis was going down and people fled. The second is that Atlanteans were reincarnating through people in the United States.
Just the United States?
That's the only part that he's like listing.
It's making sense. It's not like individualism. It's not like...
Yeah, and just to clarify, he's an American man.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, right.
It's so self-centered. It's like so American of him that...
Yeah.
That you would have this theory that like they would only reincarnate here.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird.
And like, there's no real acknowledgement of like, are you saying like indigenous Americans? Are you, because remember there's the ties to that story.
Right.
Right? That Atlanteans had cursed them. Or are you saying the colonizers who are American? Like you and I,
yeah.
the white people here.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
who? And I tried to get through some of his, like, writings on it. And if you've ever read anything by him, it's a lot of it is, like, basically him in a trance kind of writing. And it's
channeling or something.
Yeah, it's wacky. It's right. wackadoodle stuff.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find anything where it was, like, I saw anything that looked like white supremacy or racism. But it still doesn't sit right. It's still weird. And he wasn't saying like, this is fact. He's saying, this is what I'm picking up in doing these past life connections, this message. But it's still fucking weird.
He was saying Atlantis was off of the earth, was outside of the earth.
It was a planet.
It's a planet. But yet people are then for some reason they start reincarnating here. So
it gets destroyed.
Oh, okay.
And people flee. And so one of the things he picks up is they just flee to many different countries. But the second one is that they don't flee. They died and they reincarnated as people in the United States. So again, he's not going, this is what happened, guys. He's going, this is what I'm picking up in right. my past life readings. That,
right.
oh, you, conveniently, people in the United States, who is the majority of my readings, are an Atlantean in a past life. And you reincarnated. Right. Like, mm-hmm. So now it comes in. And so because it's Atlantis, mm-hmm. and because this idea that you're an alien in the starseed, like this is born from here. And now you have the guy in 1976 writing that book, influenced by Casey, obviously, like right. I mentioned in the first episode, right? It's The Gods of Aquarius, 1976 by Brad Steiger, right? Yeah. So Atlantis was an all-powerful civilization, and starseeds are descendants of alien beings from that planet. Coming from what Casey says in these it's all there.
I see.
So like we said at the beginning of the last episode, this starseed Atlantis thing is always in the periphery. Mm-hmm. There's always people right. talking about it. It's not like, oh, when something big happens, it comes from nowhere. Back. Yeah. Right. But it becomes more popular.
Yes.
And so it has this huge resurge mm-hmm. with COVID. And so if you look like in the...
It definitely shifted from like the pre-COVID Rebecca Campbell light worker trying to be helpful.
Yes.
And then it shifts to this definitely more radicalized, more extreme version of what a starseed is now yes. if you're looking into it.
It becomes part of the alt-right pipeline.
Correct.
Yes, exactly. Which it's always becoming part of that like weird alt-right thing, mm-hmm. right? Like in mm-hmm. some form. But now it's like very obvious because right. of social media.
Right.
Okay. So if you look at like how popular books are on starseeds or decks are on starseeds or right. how popular it is on TikTok or right. I had to look at like Instagram and Facebook too because TikTok kind of didn't take off until COVID, right? So I'm trying to Good be point. Fair in right. my judgment of it.
Yep.
But it's very easy to see. Like the facts are there that it takes way off during COVID.
Right.
Okay. So you have this cycle with COVID of then racism coming to the forefront. Right. It's not like racism wasn't there. I'm not saying that.
No.
But it becomes something we're all talking about. There's,
right.
there's these issues with George Floyd and all this stuff, right? Comes right. right up. And then there's this element of psychology and like what's going on mentally for people when you're like probably already on the
pandemic.
Edge. And then you're in a pandemic and you're stuck. At home and everything is scary.
Social strife and
yeah, and like happening. What happens to people and why they're so susceptible to this, mm-hmm. right? And this is the thing that I was talking about at the beginning of the first episode that was so infuriating to me is that this is a very obvious pattern.
Right.
Why are we not putting this together more and catching right. it faster?
I don't know.
It's irresponsible.
It is.
Okay.
Well, you caught it.
Well, yeah, but it shouldn't have been me. So I want to take a quick break.
Okay.
We come back, we're going to talk about megalomania because it is so tied to this.
It's like the bigger issue also.
Yes.
Right.
And then I am going to very carefully show you or have you listen to some TikToks of why right. this is so dangerous. There's a person, they're a great example of the slippery slope we have going on here of dangerous. Because you, in case you're still thinking, we get all the way to here and you're still like, Heather and Jamie... It's okay. Starseed stuff isn't that bad. Hopefully that will seal the deal for you.
I think we lost those people a while ago.
If you're still here.
You're still here.
Or maybe this will help you if you have those people around you and mm-hmm. you need to like be able to use these kind of tools.
Correct.
Okay. Let's take a quick break.
All right.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, y'all. It's Jamie with a little shameless self-promotion. We've had a lot of people reaching out asking about distal Reiki, so I wanted to let you all know that yes, you can book a session with me. If you'd like some distance Reiki, get in touch with me and we will set it up for you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
great with podcast listening?
A great cup of coffee from a great coffee shop.
Yep. Beans roasted in-house, amazing baristas. You know where I'm talking about.
Restoration Coffee. Can we go?
Yes, I need an Americano and maybe a panini too.
Ooh, I need blueberry maple latte and probably a resto bowl.
Ooh, yeah. Check them out and visit restoration-coffee.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's talk about what we're obsessed with this week.
Okay, Heather, this is a pattern I've been noticing with you and I.
We have a pattern?
I think so.
We probably have a lot of patterns.
I think we have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something that, like, you know, intuitive people and empathic people and probably just humans in general have a hard time with. Mm-hmm. And that we're both experiencing it right now on mm-hmm. different ways. But, like, I've been noticing that you and I are both choosing to leave things.
Ooh, yeah.
But how hard it is to leave before you have to.
Oh, like when the universe doesn't force you out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And how much harder it is to make changes.
Yeah.
And I think that we as humans in this, like, very patriarchal, egotistical society, mm-hmm. that we wait until our hands are, like, tied or we're forced.
Yeah.
And then you make it like a decision out of duress.
Right.
You know?
I do know.
And it's a lot harder to just be like, I think this part's done.
Well, you know, the thing that, again, I don't think people say when they're talking about, like, leaving something or making mm-hmm. like a change in their life, right? Is that it's not always like, because all of this is bad and all of this doesn't right. work for me anymore.
Right.
Right. There's like, hey, there's all these elements that are still great.
Right.
But there's, my intuition has said time to move on.
Right.
And I know for myself personally, and I know for you that, like, that's a hard process to right. leave
something that's good.
Yeah.
Right. And we're not talking, it sounds like we're talking about our marriages.
Oh yeah. We're not getting divorced. No. Don't start that rumor. We're both.
But I think it applies to that too.
It does. Yes. I agree.
Like, I think some people won't leave a marriage until it's awful.
But there's these good parts.
Right. But you could leave just because you know yeah. that you could be happier somewhere else.
I think a lot of people, and I think especially women, mm-hmm. have trouble just being okay with the fact that something doesn't meet their standards any longer.
Right.
I think that's a really hard thing for all of us.
Or there's just like a next step that might be better.
Oh, there's something else calling to me. I'm going to go. But, like, our culture teaches us that you're supposed to, like, do the same thing forever. Like, pick a degree.
40 years.
Yeah. And, like, do that job for 100 years and, like, oh, you wasted your degree or you wasted all that time. Right. And it's like, why don't you go try a bunch of shit? That would be way more fun.
Exactly.
Be a newbie at something.
It sounds so simple to be like, oh, that thing over there, like, yeah, that looks good. Let me go try that. That sounds simple, but it's actually really hard.
Yeah.
To leave something.
Yeah. I think it's just human nature. Like, your ego likes the safety of what it knows.
Right.
And so it tries to kind of romanticize the good parts for you and sort of diminish the bad. But I've been in so many situations. I remember, so I was a dance major in college. Mm. It felt like the right major. I haven't used it, but I used a lot of the lessons.
Same.
Okay. And I remember as I was graduating, like, knowing I wasn't supposed to do it anymore. Like, I was supposed to do that. I was supposed to be where I was.
Right.
I followed
that. Had that experience.
Yeah. Right. But now I was supposed to go in another direction. Mm-hmm. And I remember the crisis that felt like.
Yeah. Same.
Because then you have to admit that that's not going to be the next step. And what the hell is the next step?
Right.
And what the heck do I do? Like, it's hard to be a cyclical human being. It's hard to be intuitive, because super intuitive people, yes, we pick up things. Woo-hoo. But we also have incredibly strong desires and feelings.
Right.
And we can't do stuff well if we don't feel like we desire it.
Exactly.
So when you stop desiring something, it's...
You have to move on.
You do.
Yeah.
It's so messy, though.
Yeah. So just remember that if you're in a place where you're like, oh, but this, or this part's so good, or you're feeling called to something else, like...
Yeah.
Maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, and like, don't let everything be so black and white.
Right.
You can probably return to the old thing. Like, exactly. Go try the new thing.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about megalomania.
Okay.
Because this is why this issue is why this works.
Yep.
And I want you to be able to spot it, because when I explain it to you, you're going to think of a bunch of influencers, a bunch of creators. You're going to think outside of this world. You're going to think of a lot of celebrities. You're yep. going to, it's a big deal.
Yeah. You're definitely going to start to picture people.
Okay. I think we're picturing some of the same people. We'll talk about it after. Okay. So the definition is a highly inflated conception of one's importance, power, or capabilities, as can be observed in many individuals with mania and paranoid schizophrenia. In the latter, megalomania is often accompanied or preceded by delusions of persecution.
Right.
Okay. We're going to talk about something, and we're going to be really vague about who we're talking about, and not because we're doing that like fishing thing where we want, like when people, remember in like early Facebook land, people would be like tag themselves at the hospital and they wouldn't say why or what was going on.
Yeah. But I won't tell you why I'm here.
Yeah. I'm not trying to do that, but no. I don't want to say this person's name.
Okay.
But we both know who I'm going to.
Oh, do we?
Okay. Well, you'll know I'll in a minute. Okay. You'll get there. And eventually we might end up talking about this person, to be honest, because there's stuff going on. But
okay.
There's a person that we both follow who is a pretty well-known psychic medium.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Who?
Yes. I know.
Okay. Got it. She got it.
I got there.
Small amount of details and she got it. We have been watching her mental health deteriorate and what happening as that's happening, because okay. megalomania is at play in my, I'm not a psychologist or a professional mental health person, but based on what I'm watching in her behavior, I'm going to tell you the 7 traits in a minute.
Okay.
I can see that there's something going on that's causes, and she's gone from being pretty liberal to spouting QAnon stuff.
Literal QAnon
facts. Propaganda.
Yeah, propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, it's the first time that I've seen the slide down the pipeline happen in real time.
Yes. Like, we know of Doreen Virtue and Christiana Northrup. We've talked about them. Yeah.
Right. But like, I didn't watch Dr. Northrup
fall. Yeah.
Fall. She kind of left my radar. And then the next time I saw her, it was like QAnon, Telegram.
Yeah.
Tinfoil hats, literally.
Right.
This person is like I'm watching the stories on Instagram as they're posting them, and I'm like,
yeah,
talking about the Clintons, talking about Epstein, talking about like pizza parlors with basements that don't actually exist. Like,
right.
I've never actually seen that happen in real time.
I will say that seeing megalomania, now that's not the only thing going on, but she megalomania is clearly part of what's going on for her,
right?
Because you can see like the persecution. She's saying all kinds of things about how people are after her, trying and coming to get her,
literally kill her.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, you can see all of this, right? Mm-hmm. So but what I think sometimes starts as megalomania ends up putting someone on a slippery slope to some other big mental health issues,
right?
And we're not catching it. We're like celebrating these people.
Yeah.
Now, something that I think with watching someone who, she's younger than us, but I have a connection to her through another person. So I sort of,
I don't know her,
but like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I watched her rise to fame.
Yep.
Because I followed her before she was famous.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. She had a show.
Oh, okay.
But so this all happens, and like, it gives you like another, like a weird dose of empathy where I'm like, this is alarming and bad and I'm mad, but like, I'm also watching that you're so mentally unwell and I want you to get help, and I don't know you well enough to come help you. Right. Like, this is why I'm not saying her name, because some of you might guess who we're talking about, but that's fine. But like, do you know what I mean? It's also like, oh, she's got like a young kid. Like, is there some postpartum? Like, it gives you this other view of like the mental health crisis involved in this yes. kind of thing. Does that right. make sense?
Yeah. But you can also see the responses, like you're saying, are they're split almost 50-50.
Yeah.
Where people are like to your point, where people are encouraging you.
Yes.
And like believing you and like cheering you on.
Right.
Down the pipeline. They yeah. think you're right. And they want to be like, yeah, I was here when that person had this revelation and they changed the world.
Yeah.
But then you see the other half of the people that are like, are you all right? I'm going to call so-and-so. I'm calling CPS. I'm calling like,
literally people are posting that.
If you know this person, get them help. Like so you can see the two reactions happening and it's scary.
And there's such a, still, I mean, obviously mental health stigmas are at play here, but also with women having a mental health breakdown of like immediately everyone just being like, you know, oh, lock her up or something. And
right.
it reminds me of Britney Spears where it's right. like you wanted her free and now she is, but you don't like that she's like dancing it. Like a crazy person. Like
right.
you don't get to pick how she exists.
Right.
Right. Like, but you sort of see this like, oh, she's having a mental health break. Mm-hmm. So let's like make fun of her or something. Like, do right. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a real time example of megalomania mm-hmm. grabbing someone.
Yeah.
And I think there were probably signs before it. I wasn't like sure. super watching her stories no. or stuff, but like, I think she was sliding there. So I want you to know this because right. if you had a reading with her and she like connected you and like, it was a great reading, like, talk to your, you know, dead grandma right. or something. Like, it was great. Like, and then she starts doing this. Like, you're susceptible to believing that because you saw some truth in her and now she slides here. And this is why it's important to identify what's actually happening.
Correct. And as I'm sitting here, I'm like dying, like squirming that we're talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
Like that I feel like it's like, I feel like we're talking shit.
No.
But we're actually yes. not because no. I went and looked at like our mutuals.
Oh yeah.
And there are a lot of you.
A lot of you follow
that
her.
That are following her.
Yeah.
And so I would hope that like our listeners would like know better and like be aware and stuff like that. But this stuff,
yeah.
like if it's someone that you trust, someone that you've had an experience with that like you connected with, if someone like that starts saying this stuff, it's probably easier than you think mm-hmm. to buy into.
I think what it looked like happened with this person sort of felt like a quick flip.
Yeah. It felt like a break.
But yes. But I think what happens with a lot of people is a slow slide. So it's sort of like sneakily getting being handed to you and right. you don't realize it.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you some of the traits.
Okay.
These are very like medical. So we'll discuss okay. afterwards. But presumptuousness. So they believe that they are essential.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. The world cannot go.
Right.
I feel like Teal Swan is one of my favorite examples. If you're trying to picture yes. someone, yep. like use her.
Yep.
Any cult leader will work, but mm-hmm. okay. Yeah. Next, they feel indestructible and capable of solving any problem that comes their way.
Keith Raniere.
Yes. But this is so many people in this world. This is the thing we always tell you to look out for in a yep. reading or something when yep. they're like, I know all of it. I'm, you know, like there's no limit to what I'll help somebody with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say I did everything right, but like if someone came to me with something outside of my wheelhouse, I would not do a reading or a session with them.
No, or I would say like, I don't know.
Yeah. Or let me refer you to somebody, to an expert, to a mental health professional. Like there's a lack of responsibility there or there's afraid to say you don't know something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can think of so many examples, somebody that, you know, we both used to be friends with in particular who you could see manipulating people by being like, well, you need to keep coming back to me for this
more
answer.
Sessions.
Yeah. Like it's that.
Yep.
You got to watch out for that.
We've talked about that a lot. Like yes. if someone just keeps selling you stuff and not helping you, then that's yeah. a problem.
The next one is they're manipulative, which is how they get to positions of power.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're smart, they're manipulative, they're probably charismatic.
Yep.
They get there. Right. Yep. We too often we are like, oh, this celebrity has a lot of charisma, so everything they say, I believe.
Is right.
Right. And we talked about that shift with like the Danny Masterson stuff and
yes.
Ashton Kutcher. And like,
yes.
you can see it starting to crack.
People aren't just automatically buying into everything.
But I still think people go like, oh, this is a pretty good aesthetic background and this is edited yeah. well. this person has a lot of followers, so I should just believe what they say. Yeah. And it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Feelings of omnipotence. They often put other people to the test to compare themselves and show that they're better than everyone else.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
They don't admit to their mistakes, so they never learn from them.
Okay.
Narcissistic and idealized self-image.
I was going to say, this sounds a lot like narcissism.
Right. So I tried to look up the connection. And so, you know how narcissism is like, you can be both a clinical narcissist, but you could, every single human has narcissistic traits.
Right.
This is like a lot of narcissistic traits, especially when it comes to their image.
Yeah.
How people see them.
You're like on one end of the spectrum.
Yes.
Far.
Yes. But you can still be a megalomaniac, and like a lot of times you see it in like people like overly like making sure their appearance is perfect.
Okay.
Right. Like, yes. It doesn't just mean I think everyone else is always wrong and I'm right. Like,
right.
Does that make sense? Yep. Okay. Hyper awareness of people's reaction to what they say or do. If people reject them, they think those people are the problem, not them. I think of Scientology with like a suppressive person. If you say anything bad about Scientology, like
instantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then vanity. So supported by a strong ego that grows as a result of feeling superior.
Gotcha.
So this is like the sort of clinical thing, like the traits you can look for.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. I want you to listen to it, maybe rewind and listen to it again, or take notes or something, or Google it so you have the seven. Because when you're watching people on social media, or you're taking a class from someone or reading their book, if you're picking up on these traits, stop.
Yep.
They're red flag. They might not be so far down the spectrum that they're like a cult leader hurting people who are like, hey, everyone, let's spread white supremacy through star seeds in Atlantis. But it's, you still are probably not in the hands of somebody trustworthy.
Right. But like that shaman guy actually is a great example of these characteristics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I wanted to add to this from my brain is like, I always think, where does something like megalomania come from? Like, what's the problem in the person? What's the root?
Right.
You know, that's my favorite question.
Correct.
Okay. It comes from a fear of being inferior. So think of the fear of being inferior.
Yep.
And then the concept of a starseed.
Perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's a chaotic clusterfuck.
Right.
Of perfection lined up to suck you in.
Right.
So you see it in cult leaders like all the time. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a cult leader that I wasn't like, that person deep down thinks they're inferior and that's what they're doing. Like David Miscavige, like all Keith of Raniere, these Keith Raniere, yes.
Volleyball. Sweatband on
yes.
head.
Like it's this complex. It's anyone who's always trying to like prove how smart they are. It's like, why don't you think you're smart?
Overcompensation.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
So this fear, in order to deal with it, instead of addressing it and looking at it and doing work, they go to like megalomania, like an extreme to feel superior.
Right.
So if you boil that down to this tiny little version of that, like way watered down version, you have that person sitting there feeling inferior because they're super intuitive, super empathic, and feels like the world is crazy.
It is.
Yeah, which is, I mean, both of us are those things. So I don't know that we're, like, anyone's going to trust us. But, like, it does, it's really messed up. And not many people care about it. It's okay that you have a tummy ache about it. So do we. Right? Like, but you take that, that person going, like, maybe all of this is because I'm from another planet.
Correct.
It's the same concept.
Right. It lightens the load.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you can buy into that story, if you can suspend disbelief around everything else and believe that you're a starseed from another planet, it lightens the load of like existing in this world.
And are you the Rebecca Campbell version of a starseed? If you're connecting to like the idea of maybe being an old soul and like wanting to like really understand purpose and all that stuff. Right. Yeah. But can we please kill that term and do something else?
Right.
How about just being an intuitive, empathic human?
Right.
Right? Like, why does it have to be this superiority part of it? Like, why can't we just kill that off?
Yeah.
I mean, it's tied into people not understanding intuition, not understanding empathy and using the terms wrong. I mean, there's still people, we've done a whole episode on it, but like saying like, oh, you're not artistic, you're just a starseed. There's, you're not this, it's just that. Like, no.
Exactly.
And that tie into mental illness and things like the starseed and things like, you're not autistic, you're just highly intuitive, or you're not intuitive, you're just autistic. Like, those are all the same problem. This idea of like, instead of working on the stigma of mental health and actually as a country and as a society going like, let's do better here, let's do better research, let's actually like for once throw women in the mix when we're doing tests on stuff, like,
or give people health care, like universal health care, so that people can get treated for their mental illness.
Instead, let's just excuse things and like blame alien being, that you're just an alien, no wonder.
Right.
It's frustrating.
It really is.
And I see how you got down the slippery slope there. Right. I see it. But it's time for us to stop just like letting it continue.
Right. Well, if you're a person that's mentally ill, or you're a person that's neurodiverse, and you don't feel like you have any supports, you don't feel like there's any way to manage the needs that come with those two different things, if you're like desperate enough or isolated enough, it's going to actually be an easier like diagnosis. It's going to be an easier story to buy that you're a star seed and that you just vibrate differently and you come from a different place, and that's why people don't get you, and that's why meds don't work on you.
It's this polarization of these concepts. Right. And like, it reminds me of why a lot of people become like anti-vaxxers and get sucked into that pipeline of like,
that's a great point.
Like all natural stuff and all like earthy crunchy. And then all of a sudden they're, you know, at the Capitol. And it's because like, well, the doctors weren't listening to me and this natural supplement did work.
Right.
And so then you're susceptible.
Now you're taking ivermectin instead of getting a vaccine.
Because it's the slope that you slide down. Right. And the thing is that like both things should exist together. Right. A doctor should listen to you if you took something natural and it helped.
Correct.
We still live in a society where a man can send a woman to be locked up for her mental health because he was mad at her.
Right.
And people just believe him and not her. Like, of course this is a problem, but we're fighting in the wrong direction when you start bringing these kind of concepts in.
Exactly.
Okay. I could keep going about that, but I'll reel that part in.
Well, and then you have people talking about star seeds and stuff, and no one wants to take intuition or empathy seriously.
Right.
Because you're talking about this.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. I have to tell you about a creator.
We're not talking about their name though, right? Are we saying their name?
I've gone back and forth on this.
I feel torn on it.
Okay. I won't say their name, but I'll make it very easy for you to figure it out should you want to.
I just don't like
promoting
this.
Yeah. I'll say enough things that you could easily figure it out, but I won't actually, but I am going to play some of their TikToks.
Okay, you can play the TikTok.
Okay. So basically,
but we're not showing it. Like we're not showing you the screen.
I made you see it.
Yeah, that's fine.
You loved it.
I hated it.
Okay. Basically, I wanted to go, okay, we have this figure that I said before, there's over 1 billion hashtag starseed views. Mm-hmm. What are people talking about?
Right.
Okay. I tried very hard to like be watching TikToks not in my own account, which is very difficult to do, like not signed in.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I was trying not to like completely
destroy your algorithm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it worked, but anyways. Yeah. And then I was like, I'm definitely going to use hashtag starseed in these episodes. So I'm already, it's too over. Bad. It's over for me. TikTok.
Right. That ship sailed.
Yeah. I wanted to create another TikTok just for research, but I'm pretty sure that they don't like you doing that. I didn't want our TikTok to be shut down.
Oh, okay.
You can't have two same person. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Okay. So this person has, there were lots of them. Some very obvious white supremacy language, some much more along the Rebecca Campbell line. I would say the more popular is the Rebecca Campbell line of them. Okay.
Sort of benign.
Yes.
Yeah.
But too many not benign.
Benign or not, you need to know what's happening.
Agreed. But like, if you're thinking it's all Rebecca Campbell stuff, no, it's probably 50-50 to be honest with you. Okay. So one of the creators we're going to talk about has 122,400 followers.
That's a lot.
And has their own cult, self-proclaimed cult leader.
No, they call it a cult.
Yeah. All of the videos on the bottom say join the blank cult.
Right, which
cults don't openly identify as cults. That's part of a cult. See our episode on cults. We have two of them. Yeah. And this person, in case you wanted to actually find them, was featured on MTV because of the fact that they have a cult and something to do with them seeing a tree walk around. That's enough details that you can figure it out without me giving too much.
Side eye. Okay. Side eye.
But they are a beautiful example. They are very, I don't have any problem like saying bad things about them. Okay. We both care a lot. Like, we both get tummy aches over saying anything bad about anyone, even if they fully fucking deserve it.
Right.
Like, literally, we both, after talking about Rebecca Campbell, were like, ugh.
Yeah, like, on the break, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, we both, like, I don't want to. I want everyone to do great.
I know, but it's the right thing to do. Like, people need to know. We got to put our money where our mouth is.
And if we're saying, hey, there's no checks and balances here, there's lawless land, but we're not trying to provide it, that makes us hypocrites. So we have to be uncomfortable sometimes. There's no one else doing it, Jamie.
A lot of times.
Okay. So the content in this person's like is so awful and dangerous.
Yeah.
But I want to play a few clips for you to listen to because I want you to hear the slippery slope.
The ones that we're going to play perfectly illustrate the slope.
Yeah.
Like they're different levels of toxicity.
Yes, exactly.
And some of them you can tell she's starting you out.
Yeah.
Nice and easy, dipping your toes in it, and then it just gets progressively more obvious and more radical.
And like that's the thing about like something like TikTok, where you can watch one or two videos, like they just kind of come up on your for you page, and you didn't go onto the person's page and like look at all the stuff they stand for. You're just like, oh yeah, like.
But then you get more of it though.
Yeah, right. So you're slowly being indoctrinated into this stuff,
right?
Just in the way that it's set up.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to play some of these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to afterwards have you sort of describe the visual elements that people need to know that's included here. Okay.
How do I know if I'm a starseed? But nobody seems to ask, what is it like to be a starseed? Starseeds are alien consciousness born into human bodies. Because of our unique energy signatures, we have pretty hard lives. Being a starseed is a super lonely experience. It feels like nobody understands you, and it feels like your family is far away in space. Starseeds have a super different energy signature than other Earthlings. Because of this, they're often diagnosed with severe mental illness because of their inability to just go about life like nothing is wrong. They can see the corruption in place very clearly. The positives are that you're usually super smart and also really psychic. And if you can learn how to master your interdimensional traveling with your conscious energy, you don't have to feel lonely and you can connect to your family in space. Also, as the internet expands on these topics, you can find other starseeds like you.
That, I mean, you and I, and probably most of our listeners, can hear the problematic elements of that.
Yeah, I mean, there are highlights of her targeting.
But can't you see how some of that you're like, okay.
Yes, the aesthetic is very, cute. She's a white girl. She has, a little heart on her shirt.
Yeah.
Little iridescent heart on her shirt. Mm-hmm. It's, everything that you would think.
Yep.
She's well-spoken, well-articulated.
She has that, sing-songy little girl voice kind of thing going on. Yeah.
And, she's attractive. She's presenting it as factual.
Tune into the next video.
Sorry.
She's presenting as factual and not trying to... It doesn't feel like a sell.
Right.
It is. She's targeting some weaknesses.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
It's pretty like...
You could see how someone would give that a like and move on and then... Okay.
And I can also see how you would relate.
Yes.
As people who are intuitive.
Yes.
Who are empathic, you do feel like you don't fit in. You do feel like you don't, it's harder to connect with people.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how many times someone says that you don't fit in because you were born to stand out and we get that.
Yeah.
Got it. Susan, but it's also really painful, especially to grow up feeling that way.
Yeah. And it's also really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
to talk about someone being mentally ill and then writing it off as just being intuitive or just being of a different frequency, or what she say, having a different energy pattern.
Yeah. Like signature. I think
signature. Yeah. Like that's incredibly dangerous to even hint or suggest that someone not be aware of their own mental illness and then just see it as like being a starseed. Like that's that you're creeping on teal swan levels of being responsible for people harming themselves.
Exactly.
Like,
but can't you,
if I'm hurting your feelings saying that, too bad. Like you're people are going to be hurt by you encouraging them to dismiss their mental illness.
Yeah. And people who struggle with serious mental illness are going to hear that and want to punch you in the face.
Or punch themselves in the face.
But it's so unfair. Oh, it's just because of this. It's so dismissive.
It's super dismissive.
Yeah, I hate it. But can't you see how someone could hear that and not realize it's very problematic?
Yes.
That's the scary part. Okay, now I'm going to take you a step worse with her.
Further down the pipeline.
Bipolar or manic depression is a disconnection in the chakra system. Usually it's a disruption of the solar plexus chakra. So sometimes you're stuck in these lower chakras and you become depressed. And sometimes you're stuck in these higher chakras and you become manic.
No.
For manic depression, I think the best thing about it is that you get empathy because you experience such a wide range of emotions. Obviously, it's not a good time. The way to heal it is to sort of get an awareness, become an observer of your experience so that you can pull your energy out. Watch yourself going through the emotions. Don't attach to feeling bad for feeling bad or feeling good for feeling good. See it from the observer perspective of non-duality. And just send yourself love. As you do that, you'll be able to reconnect the chakras through that solar plexus personal power system. Medications work for a lot of people, but they never worked for me. So the spiritual process is what has helped me.
So now you can see it amped up worse.
Correct.
Again, people could still not catch that that's bad. They could think like, oh, I relate. Like she's saying things. That's how I feel. And can you explain that in the video too? She shows you the chakras that she's taught. Also, what she's saying is wrong to people who know about chakras.
Yes.
But like, do you know what I, you can see it, and that's, it's infuriating. I mean, I think most of our listeners heard that and had a stomach ache like we did, but it's so dangerous, but it's so digestible.
But think about the people who are in that situation, who meds, they're not responding to meds.
Yeah.
They're very mentally ill. If you're bipolar,
right,
you need medical help.
Right.
You need help from a therapist, from a
psychiatrist. Not from this person.
No, and but if you're in that spot where things aren't working, that you would easily glom onto that.
And join her cult.
Because you need some sense of relief.
It's taking advantage of somebody who's in a hard spot.
Right.
Who's easily manipulated because of it.
And then in another light, it's also to the people who aren't feeling as desperate as the people we just mentioned,
right,
that really need help, but people who are mentally ill, who are struggling, it's incredibly condescending to say,
just take out the duality of it.
Just be aware.
Just know about your chakras.
How your moods are cycling and what's happening in your chakras. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Like, that's so condescending and so infuriating to hear.
I know. I'm with you.
Unacceptable.
All right. I'm going to play only a few seconds of one more. And this is to demonstrate the problem of only seeing a few things and like not looking into someone. Like what you could have shared one of those videos because you were like, oh yeah. Like sent it to somebody or like reposted it or duetted it or something.
Or you saw the first video and you followed her because you're like, no,
give her another follower.
I like that. Like that track. Some of that tracks.
Watches, people viewing it equals money for these people.
Right.
For this cult. You don't know that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So we went back and forth of even playing any of this.
I mean, this is embarrassing. First of all, she should be embarrassed by by this, but
it's also very dangerous.
And some people are going to buy into it.
Yeah. Because you've already bought into the other things.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just going to play a few seconds and then I'm going to have you describe what's going on.
Okay. It's like there's a video playing and they're dressed up as witches in the woods.
I, I'm not even playing anymore.
What did she say?
You're inevitably going to die. Yeah.
That's what, like they were in the woods with like cloaks on.
Yeah. It sort of has like an 80s music video vibe.
It's like, trying to be something. It's like whatever you're picturing is like this sort of woodsy, witchy aesthetic. It's trying to be that, but it's not pulling it off.
Yeah. But it's like you could have done a better job of it when you were like six playing around.
But they're saying like you're going to die.
Yeah. So you might as well accept your third eye or something like that.
Right. And talking about time not being linear and like.
And then on the bottom, it's flashing to join the cult the whole time.
Right. Because they're starseeds.
But this is, I know it's cheesy and it's stupid. And if you end up going to look at
them. But there are people who would buy into that, who would feel connected to that.
And there are lots of very nice comments about it.
Right.
With people in this. But they're also using technique of the way she's singing. She's chanting in a very monotone voice.
Which we've talked about.
We know Teal Swan uses that tactic. Yeah. That's a brainwashing technique. Yep. So even if she's failing at it, she's attempting it.
Right.
Is my point.
I mean, I'm being bitchy as like an outsider being like, your aesthetic sucks. Like, you're not pulling it off.
But you should be, because people are going to dismiss it, how dangerous it is because of that.
Right.
Right. But the thing is that by the time you got to that video, you may have already been brainwashed into believing this.
You've already bought in.
Right.
Right.
So then you're going to be like, oh yeah, this is great.
Right. And you're going to look beyond like the,
the aesthetic. You're going to just think, oh, well, it's low budget because the cult needs more money.
Exactly. I mean, and the comments on that are scary. Like
people buy
heart emojis, people loving
it. This
agreeing.
Is such a vibe.
Like,
yeah. So, yeah.
So that's how you go down the pipeline, is you start with, and like, this is all very intentional. Like,
of
she's
course.
Doing that on purpose.
Yes. This is from like the cult playbook.
Exactly.
It's not somebody who, do I think she could be mentally ill? Yeah. I mean,
she says she is.
I believe her. I have no reason not to, but like,
right.
That's okay. But like now you're trying to hurt people.
Right.
Like, we're not doing that. Okay. So I would just like to wrap this up with a call to people, because these are the things that I think we really need to have. Like, I want these things to be studied, and I volunteer to help. Like, I'm just going to put this call out to our listeners and to the universe at the same time.
Yeah.
I would love for there to be a study about like Native and pagan cultures.
Yeah.
In their view on something called star people versus what we see as star seeds. Because a lot of the things I was reading were claiming like these concepts were in these cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But star people and star seeds were not the same thing. But I don't feel like I should be representing what like Native Indigenous Americans meant when they said star people, just because I read a few articles. But I do think that should be looked at, because there's a connection, and people are using that against, like, for white supremacy and against those cultures.
Well, and it wouldn't be the millionth time that like we've taken something, appropriated it, and completely twisted it and ruined it.
But it's an argument people are using. They're like, well, there's star people in this culture. Like,
and
look at the Native Americans with their star people.
Yours.
And it's not the same.
Right.
And no one was using it to brainwash people and for white supremacy. Do you know what I'm saying? So I would love to see that studied. I'm saying I noticed it, but I'm not qualified, just me, the white girl, to like speak on that.
No,
I would love to see more comparisons of that so we could shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
Just more conversations in general about the Starseed Atlantis stuff. I called for this at the beginning of the first episode of like, we don't all just have to yell at each other. Like if you're having trouble getting rid of like the Rebecca Campbell element of it, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation about it. And if you see it, comment, call it out, say like, oh, this is, but do it in a way that someone might actually receive it.
And listen, right?
Yeah. And report dangerous people you see online. Me too. But like, I know sometimes like the person we were like vaguely talking about, I'm not going to go report them, because this is obviously like a mental illness. Like obviously people can see that that's going on.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between that and someone like Teal Swan or this
person
that we played some of their TikToks, who are like purposely trying to brainwash you.
Yeah.
There's a difference there. Make sure you see it and report the people who need to be reported.
Yeah.
It takes 2 seconds. It's worth it.
I mean, if the algorithm is going to work for them against you,
right,
then you got to play in the system you're in.
Yeah.
So you use that system.
Right.
The social media app, the platform.
Right.
You use it to fight back. So you use it with.
This is where you can use your white lady Karen-ness to help people.
Correct.
Call this out. Report this.
Right. Report the content.
Yes. Use it. Use it here, everyone.
Yes.
It's a good place to channel it.
Right.
All right. I need like so much coffee.
Jesus.
All right. We need a nap.
Exhausted.
And coffee.
Yes.
Let's go.
Hey, everyone. Heather and I have an ask for you. If you love this episode or if you love the IGG, can you do us a favor? We need you to go onto whatever platform you listen on and download, subscribe, like, love, whatever it's asking you to do. Can you go do those things for us on the platforms that you listen on? It would mean so much to us.
Thanks for listening to our episode. For a way to get in touch with us, please visit our website, intuitivegirlsguide.com. We love hearing your feedback on our episodes.